Okay, good afternoon. Welcome back. We hope you had a good coffee. I think at least our first speaker this morning, Phil, thank you so much for really getting our minds thinking. And you got me thinking about the future and what OWASPA might be able to contribute with. But actually, I'm just going to use a few minutes right now to just look a little bit backwards. And then tomorrow in the breakout session, as Paul said, we're going to talk more about how can we move things forward. And as Paul said, it's quite remarkable to think back just 2 years ago when we had our first meeting in Lund and what the situation looked like then and where we are today. And even if we go back a little bit before our first meeting in Lund, we were in Lund yet once before that, where at that time Lund University had been hosting the Nordic conferences on scholarly communication, and that had become kind of a meeting where it was quite OA friendly, and so we had actually started some discussions already then about should we create an association for the open access publishers. And I have to say, with some pushing from Lars as well, so we also have to thank Lars for sort of also giving us a bit of a nudge and saying, come on guys, shouldn't you have an organization for yourselves? And Paul did refer as well to sort of one of the practical things that we've spent some time doing, just getting an organization in place. So just this year, we finally became officially registered as a nonprofit organization in the Netherlands, which I have to thank Saskia Franken, who's been our secretary, tremendously. Thank you, Saskia, for all that work, together with Carmen Merlon, who is in our secretariat. We also now have a bank account. We had been borrowing space within the Spark Europe bank account, and now that we're our own organization, we now also have our own bank account and even a PayPal account to make it easier, in particular for our scholar publisher members to join and to pay their membership fees, basically. Apparently it's been difficult for some people to pay, so we're hoping this will help us. And of course, we've also, I think this conference has really started rolling. We were unsure whether it should be an annual event, but we quickly understood that it should be, and so I'm really happy that this is the third, and I expect we'll have a fourth and fifth, at least. And we've also seen that our membership has grown, and what's particularly interesting is I don't think even 2 years ago that we would have foreseen some of you who are today members or are considering becoming a member now. And so we welcome you, and it says a lot about what's changed in the open access landscape, and hopefully what we've also contributed as OWASPA to the open access landscape, to where it's not so frightening to have that identity as well as an open access publisher. I want to just say the two things that I think we've probably contributed most to, if I look at the things we've done, and as Paul said, we are limited because we are a working board, and we've had a bit of secretariat support, but that's it. So those of us on the board are the ones who are doing this. And one of the things that was really important to us when we started was we understood that many new organizations were emerging, and they were jumping in here, and that standards would be very important moving forward. And in particular, things like licensing policies. Because when we looked across journals, a vast majority didn't have a very clear licensing policy. So, and we've said this time and again, and those of you who joined know, joining OWASPA has not been easy. That's where we've really taken the standards and applied then to taking a look at publishing houses and to help them adjust and to meet the standards. Someone said to me, it'd be easier to get into a high-end country club than OWASPA, but and it started, I meant to say this initially, that the very first thing we actually had to do, and that I think was a major contribution as well, was that we had to define what is an open access publisher, what does that mean, and what criteria should people be looking for. And that looks to have been very important because groups like COPE, the Compact for Open Access Publishing Equity, starting from Harvard, are now using our membership criteria and our definition to sort of determine whether or not they should cover a charge or not. And so we see that there's actually real value in that, and we need to continue adjusting it. So we've also taken a look now more at, okay, preservation is also really important. Maybe we should make sure people have a preservation policy. So we are adjusting these as we go forward and as new standards seem to be emerging. And I think based on Phil's discussion this morning, there are more standards that we could be helping to set and to adjust as well. The other main issue for us when we first started, and which was really important to us for starting the organization, was that we felt that there was a need for a collective voice for open access publishers in the discourse, in the debate, in the discussion going on in open access and the future of scholarly communications. And we knew back in 2007, if you had an open access publishing house, you spent almost as much time working with advocacy as you did actually publishing articles, because we needed to build up an understanding of what we were doing and build up an acceptance for what we were doing, that this wasn't strange. And those of you who heard my talk last year here at CoAusp, I talked about the core and preserving this core of scholarly communications, but testing and changing things around non-core practices. And I took that talk somewhat on the road last year and had variations on that in order to try and sort of demystify what open access publishing was really about. And I think that we have taken tremendous strides in creating a space for ourselves in this discourse and in being invited to come to the table when discussions are going on. We're not invited to all discussions yet, and not everyone has perhaps heard of us, but that's growing. And in particular, the United States now, I've been there twice this past year to speak on behalf of WASPA, first for the American Research Libraries and SPARC meeting, and then again for an International Society for Managing and Technical Editors. And I'll be back again for the Berlin 9 conference to do a workshop with my WASPA hat on. And again, next year, I've been invited to sit on a program committee for a conference on open access in North America. So I think that we'll start becoming more visible in North America as well. Being a part of that voice, of course, also involves some press coverage. So we're also in the press on occasion, sometimes for the better, sometimes not for the better, sometimes as a target, and then sometimes for people to point to and say good things about. But all press is good press, and it means that we're getting known. And it was very positive to hear that yesterday there was a 3-4 page article on open access publishing where Mark Patterson, among others, was interviewed and quoted. Sometimes I understand misquoted, but still that there was, you know, this idea that we should have open access publishers in this discussion. As I mentioned, I've been going to a lot of meetings. I receive numerous invitations now to come and talk about open access publishing, open access publishers. As I say, my main message has been to try and sort of demystify what we're doing. But also to, it gives me a really good chance to showcase our members. So I have lots of slides with screenshots of your home pages that I'm running around presenting and talking about the good work that's being done and the expansion that's taking place. In addition to conferences, among other things this past year, the Danish Ministry of Innovation and Research invited me to come, and they were having a kind of workshop for publishers in Denmark to talk about transitioning to open access. So I was invited to come and talk about different business models, how we could go forward. LIRU, the League of European Research Universities, had a meeting this year. They launched a roadmap and asked me, among others, as a WASPA, to come and comment on that roadmap. And so there's been more opportunities for us to actually get involved and to be a part of the discussions that are going on. And of course, this year there's been a lot of activity with the European Commission here in Europe. And so I did participate in a public hearing, was invited specifically to come and be a part of that, together with other publisher organizations and other organizations. Have also had other contacts with the European Commission. We've also been building relationships. I think that's part of being a part of coming to the table. And so, for example, ILCO invited me to be on the advisory committee for OOPEN, the Open Access Publishing in European Networks, which is a platform for books publishing, to also have some sort of a WASPA experience or input as well there, and so that we can bring our organizations also to work together. I also sit on the board of SPARC Europe, so from there I've also had then other contact with groups like LIBER, I'll come back to some of these others as well. And I'm not trying to brag and give you my CV. I'm doing this. I truly try to do this with the interests of a WASPA. It's not me beating my laurels here. And the other organization that we've had more discussion with lately is the Directory of Open Access Journals at DOAJ. We see from an OWASPA perspective, the DOAJ, as an important part of the infrastructure for open access publishing. And so we reached out to the OJ and sent a letter actually to the chair of the board of the library to point out how important the DOAJ is and to commend Lund University for having the DOAJ, but to also point out that we see that there's even more that could be going on with the DOAJ and more services that could be provided, probably from a publisher perspective, but also from the perspective of researchers and librarians. And so I've sort of reached out and said we'd be interested in having a dialogue to talk about how that might go forward. And they've come back actually now and said, would you like to talk more? So we'll see where those discussions could lead. I've had some discussions more informally with DOAJ earlier because we've sort of talked about our criteria and whatnot to see that we're kind of moving in a similar direction. But this is one area where we might have a more formal relationship potentially. We've also had some, as I said, COPE in the United States. We've had some discussions with COPE since they were using our membership criteria. We've, you know, linked up with OA Week on occasion, Open Journal System, SFU. We tried to time our conference this year with theirs so that we could try and coordinate a little bit better. There may be other things we could be doing. The Knowledge Exchange this morning, we had a workshop with the Knowledge Exchange. And from that, it looks like there may be other things that we could be working together to help develop. Someone mentioned CrossRef and cross-checking these things. We do have an agreement in place so that our scholar publisher members can be members of CrossRef and can also use CrossCheck as part of their OWASPA membership. And we felt that was really important. And so that we can also contribute to that community as other services that CrossRef offers go forward. And it's been good because Paul Peters is, are you on the board or, yeah, and has been on the board of CrossRef, so he's able to bring us what's going on, and I think you probably let them know what's going on with OWASPA there. And in others you've seen, INASP has been supportive of our conferences. We've now started having more discussions with STM, since we're both publisher organizations. Where do our interests overlap? And there have been lots of others, as I mentioned, that I've spoken with in more informal ways, but groups like Liber, Open Air, who you'll hear later this afternoon, AGIL, who's joining us again, African Journals Online, spoken with Leslie Chan at BioLine International, Eiffel, and others, to just try and, you know, develop our relationships with these groups so that they're aware of us and what we're working on, and we know better what they're working on, so that if there's opportunities to do something in the future together, that we've done that. So I think, though, so much has changed, as I said, and so it's really important to us that our discussion tomorrow, which the board will start already tonight at our board meeting, we really come up with where do we want to go from here. What's really important for you as open access publishers, how can we help move forward your open access publishing programs and expand open access publishing generally? And again, I think that this morning's conversation was very useful in that regard. Along the way, we've had a board that has had a bit of turnover. My time must be up. Or else someone thought that I looked better in the dark, so for the video. we've had some turnover, and I just want to recognize a few people since I have an opportunity to do that. We had David Ross, who's sitting there. I was so glad I saw you, David. David Ross from SAGE was a part of our founders. And Dave was really important to have in that group because David really pushed us to say, look, you're discussing whether you should just have people who only have open access journals or whether you would be open to having publishers that are testing out. You know, throw your net wide. And David was really, I think, instrumental in pushing us in that direction and also in being a sort of link to those of you who weren't members initially and saying, you know, these aren't crazy people. They're okay people with serious interests. Don't be afraid. So I want to thank you very much, David. We had another David Prosser, who when we were launching was director of Spark Europe. David was hugely helpful, both as a sounding board, but also in gaining the support of Spark Europe and a number of other organizations around Europe to support us. We had a third David who left. I don't know what it is with the Daves. They come, they go. So if you join the board and your name's Dave, that's fine, but just know it's going to be a short affair. But David Solomon, who's here, and we're so glad that he is here. David was David Solomon founded his own journal, self-published it for, I believe, 12 years, and was really instrumental in writing the bylaws and also bringing in the scholar-publisher perspective as we were developing that, in addition to, as I've said many times, working on our website, and still today will update things for us when we need some help, and just truly appreciate that, Dave. This year we're going to be losing someone who's also been tremendously valuable to us, and that's Saskia Franken, who is from, was at IGITUR, which was Utrecht University's press. And Saskia's been our secretary and just done, I just had no idea how much work it was going to be to register our organization, and I am so grateful we had someone on the ground in the Netherlands who could manage notaries and all sorts of things and to keep us straight and organized throughout that process. And Saskia's moving on to another position, so she won't be a publisher per se, but I'm sure that we're going to continue to see her, and so thank you so much, Saskia. We will miss you, but we look forward to your colleague who will be coming in. And so with that, I again, thank you very much. Thank you for the time to look backwards a little bit, but now I want to look forward. So please come with your input tomorrow. We're ready for it. Thanks.